Okay, ready to go? Everyone sit up straight, put your booty back. Take a deep breath in. Who's the man?
Jesus!
Lord, we just pray you bless us today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to go on any college campus, and I know there's a whole bunch represented here, but any college campus, as you will, Tuesday, you have no school tomorrow, is that correct? Tomorrow's a holiday? If you have a school tomorrow, you're getting gypped because it's a holiday. But when you go to school on Tuesday, if you walk around your campus and see people walking around, you might assume by just looking that everyone's having a similar experience. Most of them have books, going to the library, going to eat, going to sporting events, going to, you know, your rec center, whatever you have, your student center, doing all kinds of things, going to the dorms, kind of going back and forth every day, the similar pattern. And you might assume that people are having a similar college experience as you, when in fact, that can be the first thing from the truth. Some people are going to cruise through, get good grades, maybe meet their spouse, maybe go to grad school, maybe get a job out of college. Others are going to struggle through college and barely make it. Some of y'all are hating the college experience. Some of you are there because your parents made you go. Some of y'all are going to flunk out and not make it at all. Okay? I was talking to a guy. And I won't say his name, but if he's here, he will be embarrassed, and he should be. I'll tell you, it was hilarious. He was telling me how school was hard for him. I said, how come school was hard for him? He said, well, it was just the grades. I was trying hard to get grades. I said, well, what made it hard? He said, I couldn't get to class. I said, what do you mean you couldn't get class? I said, I couldn't get up in the morning. It's like, anyway, I thought that was kind of just get your butt out of bed and go to class. But anyway, people have different experience. When you die and go to heaven, you may think that everybody in heaven is going to have a similar experience. When in fact, they're going to be very different. Not all of you are going to have the same experience in heaven. What is going to determine how your experience goes in heaven is your heavenly bling. How much bling you have in heaven. Now, last week we talked about what happens to Christians when you die. We talked about standing before the Bema seat of Christ. Everyone say Bema.
Bema.
When you stand before the Bema seat of Christ after you die as a believer, Christ is going to examine you. He's going to examine your life, your deeds, your words, your actions. And he's going to examine you on an individual basis, and he's going to test your deeds, your words, your actions, and your attitude of your life on earth. He's going to test it via fire. And whatever survives the fire, in other words, those things that were done by faith will survive the fire, you will get a reward for, as we're going to see in a minute. That which doesn't survive the fire will be burnt up, and you will get no reward. Those rewards are going to determine what kind of experience you have in heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you ladies in here, or guys, have a diamond? Raise your hand. Okay? Say, hey.
Hey.
Okay. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a diamond before it was diamondized. Okay? This is a diamond before it's diamondized. That's 0.7 carats. Costs about $450. Because it looks like rock candy. And that's really a good one, by the way. When you are born, you are a sinner. You are like that rock candy. You are not brilliant. You're not beautiful yet spiritually. You are a sinner doomed to destruction. You ask Christ to be your savior. He comes into your life, and through your whole life, you are in a process of becoming diamondized to where you end up looking like that diamond. Now, through your whole life, Christ is working on you, trying to change you and mold and shape you into that. So you can reflect his brilliance in the way you were originally intended to reflect it. So what we're going to talk about today is not only that process, but what's going to happen at the end when he examines you and rewards you with crowns, robes, and authority. When he rewards you with rewards in heaven, they're going to enable you to reflect his glory at the maximum potential. So let's look in our Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And while you turn there, everyone say with me, rewards.
Rewards.
One more time, rewards.
Rewards.
Again, say rewards.
Rewards.
First thing we're going to look at is that rewards for faithful service have been promised to us. Rewards for faithful service have been promised to you. Let's read this. Chapter 3, verse 11, 1 Corinthians. It says, For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, everyone say gold, silver, precious stones.
Gold, silver, precious stones.
Say wood, hay, straw.
Wood, hay, straw.
Gold, silver, and precious stones will survive fire. Wood, hay, and straw is burnt up by fire. When your deeds are examined, they will be examined by fire. And if your deeds were done by your flesh, your own strength, your own ideas, not God's, they will be burnt up by fire. But if you live by faith, those deeds are going to survive the fire and be precious stones, gold, and silver. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Everyone say fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, it will receive a reward. Say reward.
Reward.
A reward. You have an opportunity to receive rewards in heaven. This concept is nothing new. When you do something good on earth, you're rewarded for it. That concept comes from God. It's not comes from man. It comes from God. Let me read some verses to you. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Say reward. Mark 9:41 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Say reward. Second John verse 8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Say reward. Okay, so God is saying to you, if you live by faith and do live your life according to the word of God, you will get rewards. Okay, number two, rewards can be lost or forfeited. Rewards can be lost or forfeited. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on endures the fire, survives the fire, he will receive a reward. Say reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer a loss. Say loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Every time you have an opportunity to take a step of faith, you have an opportunity to gain a reward or bling in heaven. God tells you to pray for somebody and you by faith do it. Cha-ching! God tells you to read the Bible and by faith you do it. Cha-ching! God tells you to encourage somebody to give something, to serve somewhere, to sacrifice something or by faith. Cha-ching! 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 Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that sounds kind of insincere. Why should I do it just to get cha-ching in heaven? It's a good question. I'll answer part now and I'll answer part later. When you do something for God, sincerely, because God is telling you by faith, doesn't it feel good? When you pray for somebody and they're blessed, they say, thanks. When you lead someone to the Lord and their life changes, when you serve according to the gifts God has given you. And by the way, we took a spiritual gifts test. We have a spiritual gifts test on our website. We've had 5,000 people take that gifts test in the last 3 weeks. If you haven't taken it, just go to the website and take a gifts test. You'll learn your spiritual gift. When you use that spiritual gift according to the way God has intended, it feels good. Why? Because God created us to do that, and he also created pleasure. The sense of pleasure, happiness he created, joy he created, peace he created, contentment he created, and he wants us to experience that. Why? Because he created us to have a relationship with him, to experience his love. And so when you do what he tells you to do, you experience his love. That's just, he created us for that. And it's also reinforces that we do that very thing. That's why pain hurts. He put pain in our life so we avoid bad things. So when you say, well, I'm doing it to feel good, well, that's kind of how God set us up. Now, by the way, when you serve God sincerely, you are serving God because God has prompted your heart, not because you're being selfish if you're doing it right. Now, you could do it selfishly, but that's not doing it sincerely. So don't let the devil reverse psychologize you out of doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Well, if I'm going to feel good, if I help this person, so I better not do it because that's selfish. No, don't play that. Don't let him play that game with your mind. You're saying, I want to do something good because God is telling me to do something good. And by the way, I'm going to feel good. So it's a win-win.
Cha-ching in heaven is a whole different deal. I can't comprehend that.
But we need to know it. So don't, like I said, don't let him use reverse psychology on your brain. Be obedient and be blessed. Because God, how many of y'all want to be blessed? How many of y'all want to be blessed? Number three, rewards are given in heaven. Turn five books or six books before where you're at to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 11. Matthew 5:11. Let's look at what it says. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here's what it says. Blessed are you when people persecute you falsely. You should rejoice because you have a reward in heaven. Here's what it's not saying. Blessed are you when people persecute you and they're justified. In other words, if someone calls you an idiot because you were an idiot, don't rejoice. Say, I'm sorry. It says when you are persecuted falsely. If someone persecutes you righteously, you need to get your relationship right with God and them. But if someone persecutes you falsely because you are a Christian, the Bible says great is your reward in heaven. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you avoid persecution because you're a Christian? Oh, you just lost the reward. In other words, you had an opportunity, or God told you to carry your Bible to school, and you said, I don't want people to make fun of me. So God told you to pray over at Monty's or somewhere on your campus in public for somebody. You're talking to somebody, and they go, you know, I'm having a hard day, and they don't even know you're a Christian necessarily. They're not asking for prayer necessarily, but they say to you, you know, I'm having a hard day, blah, blah, this happened, da, 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 da. And God says to you, a little voice in your back, he said, why don't you pray for him right now? You go, that's not me. That's just me. That's not God. Anybody? Anybody? That's God. And what do? You punk out. You just lost the opportunity. You just lost the opportunity to get a reward. But more importantly, they weren't blessed. You didn't. You lost the opportunity to bless them. They're walking away just as discouraged as they were when they talked to you, and yet they encountered someone who knows God. That shouldn't be. That's the bigger issue. Remember, God gives our gifts and abilities not for us, but for the other people. If you're not using all the other people, what are you having for? So God brings you to an opportunity. He says, why don't you bless this person? Why don't you give to this person? Why don't you help that person? Why don't you counsel that person? Why don't you encourage that person? Why don't you teach that person? Why don't you pray for that person? You go, I don't know. Every time the devil will come up with an excuse, every time, for you not to do it. How many of those times do you believe him? You just lost the opportunity. And you lost the reward in heaven. And they lost the opportunity to be blessed. Okay? Let me read a couple of verses to you. I'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. Next chapter. Verse 19. Says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, for there your treasure is, where your treasure is, your heart will be. You know what he's saying? Don't be so caught up in stuff that you can't take with you. I know y'all watching all the news about your girl and Nicole Smith. Now, and Nicole Smith had all that money. I'm not going to get into her whole personal life and what she was all about. I'm just going to say this. Here's a very wealthy woman that died and did not take one dime with her. And all that money, look at all the drama it's causing. I'm not saying having money is bad. What I'm saying is, why waste your whole life to get something you can't take with you? Why waste your whole life trying to hoard something and not use it? And I'm not saying she didn't use it God's way. Now I'm just talking to you because I don't know her. That you hoard something to yourself and not gain riches where you're going. Because where you're going, those riches we're going to see are a whole lot better than these riches. You could take these riches and torch it. You can't torch the riches in heaven. Okay, so we got heaven. Now, here's what we have to understand. We got rewards on earth and rewards in heaven. What this is telling us is that we're going to get rewards in heaven. What we have to understand is that the rules in heaven are different than the rules on earth. So therefore, how we need to view the rewards in heaven, we have to view differently than we review the rewards on earth. How is that? What do I mean? When you get a reward on earth, when you get a raise, you get a new car, you get new hair, you go to the store and buy some hair, your nails, whatever it is. I ain't want to gossip. But when you get it, it's all about me. This is my hair. This is my car, my nails, my earrings. Okay? This is my apartment. This is my. When you get to heaven, it's completely backwards. See, in heaven, if you want to be rich, you'd be poor. In spiritual kingdom talk, Jesus says, if you want to be rich, you'd be poor. If you want to be smart, you'd be dumb. If you want to be strong, you'd be weak. What does that mean? You take everything you have that you have on earth and you surrender to God and let him replace it with his version. You got wisdom? Let God give you his wisdom. You got riches? Let God give you his riches. You got strength? Let God give you his strength. You don't think God is stronger than you? The Bible says in heaven, if you want to be first, you'll be last. Because if you're last, God will make you more firster than you can yourself. Do y'all know what firster means? See? Y'all know? If God makes you first, you are most firster than you could ever be, and no one can make you second. I was standing in line at the airport. Now, sometimes, you know, I'm a pastor, right? So I always have to live above reproach. And I hope that I do. But sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I want to do things that I know I'm not supposed to. And I don't think I do those things. But I want to. Example. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, I want to do this. I want to hit this person. Or I want to, you know, and I'm going to tell you why. Or I want to physically, you know, do something to this person. But you can't. Your flesh saying, you know, do something right now. And the devil's egging you on. You're like, Are you following me? Yes. Deal with the same thing. Maybe not the same thing you do, but maybe similar. I'm standing in line at the airport, you know, in line, security is like long. So I'm, you know, the pain in the neck. I get right up to the front. This is no lie. This is me. This is the line. We're going that way. I turn my head and this guy just does this. Has anybody ever experienced that? It's like, and the guy has a suit jacket on, you know, he don't want to look, clearly don't want to look at you because he's just dogging you out. The line goes way back. He just cut all these people and just went. Now I'm thinking, okay, God, is there a clause in my contract? I mean, what is allowable by the code? What can I do? What can I do? He's like, I know this is tough, man. That guy's been getting on my nerves for a long time. This guy telling me this now. And here's what I'm thinking in my mind. Okay. You can't grab him, which I would love to have just grabbed the back of his collar. And then I said, okay, maybe I'll say something to him. But what if I say, yo, man, what's up? And he turns around, what's up? Even though he was kind of a Pee Wee Herman looking dude, so I don't think he would do that. He might go, ha, ha. You know, I don't know what he would do, but. I I love me some Pee Wee Herman. I'm sorry. Pee Wee Herman was funny. I was watching him the other day. He was cracking me up. Anyway. But for real. So I'm sitting in my mind. I go, okay, I got to do something. He just dogged me out. Cut in front of me. This is not right. And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm looking at this dude. Okay, I can't physically do anything. And what if I say something? And what if, like I said, what if he says, well, what you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I mean, you know, Pastor of the Rock arrested at the airport. It wouldn't be worth it. So I was like, all right, Lord, I'll pray for him. When God puts you first, no one can remove you. Nobody. In order for you to allow God to put you first, you put yourself last. Just let God look good. Don't matter. So what I did with that dude, I just went. Did my Thai Chia Pet exercise. And I said, God, I will pray for my enemies and I will allow you to give me a reward in heaven. And then I proceeded to pray that his hair fall out right before he got to the airport. I didn't do that. I'm sorry. I didn't do that. The rules are different in heaven. Okay. Look at your notes. Rewards in heaven possess spiritual significance. Rewards in heaven have spiritual significance. Turn to 2 Timothy, about 10 books towards the back. Spiritual significance. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Everyone say Stephanos. Stephanos. Okay, let's read. Chapter 2, verse 5. Anyone who competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Everyone say crowns.
Crowns.
Say robes.
Robes.
Say authority.
Authority.
One more time. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say crowns.
Crowns.
Say robes.
Robes.
Say authority. Very good. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but all who have loved his appearing. Now, in your notes, I gave you verses about five different crowns that you could read on later. What Paul's saying here is that one of the crowns I'm going to get is the crown of righteousness. Now, there's two types of crowns in the Greek. One is diadema, which is a crown that Jesus wears only, and Satan. Satan copied him. But then there's the Stephanos crown. The Stephanos crown is a crown that someone would get if they won an athletic event. It is a crown of victory. Think about it. Every day you are in a battle with your flesh. In other words, your pride says do this. The Holy Spirit says do this. Holy Spirit says pray. Your pride says no, you don't want to embarrass yourself. Holy Spirit says read your Bible. Your pride says you don't need it. You'll get it Sunday. Holy Spirit says repent of getting drunk. And your pride says don't worry about it. Everyone's getting drunk. And so you have this battle every day. And when your pride wins, you haven't been victorious. But when you successfully say no to your flesh and your pride and your ego, and you say, no, I'm going to listen to God, you are victorious. And there are some areas in your life that constantly keep coming up. And you have to constantly keep suppressing them. And you experience victory after victory, sometimes failure. When you stand before God, he's going to say, here's all your victories. That's where my fingerprints come in. And I'm going to give you a crown because you have been victorious in these areas of your life. So every single one of us had these opportunities to receive credit or a crown because of our works of faith and our victory in our life, whether it be victory over some part of our flesh, whether how we dealt with trials, how we share the gospel, how we pray, how we serve, in all these different areas of your life, how are you representing Christ? In what way are you denying yourself, becoming decreasing while Christ increases? You get a crown. You get a crown. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Why are you turning to Genesis chapter 37? Let me tell you this. David, King David, when he became king, they gave him a crown. It was 75 pounds. They call him the bump head king because when he put it on his head, he bumped his head on the ground, had a big old knot in his head. 75 pounds. That king, that crown represented not only victory, but that crown represented his authority. When you get a crown, it's also going to represent your authority. Robes. Everyone say robes.
Robes.
Say crowns.
Crown.
Say robes.
Robes.
Say authority.
Authority.
Let's see how much you remember. The Old Testament is the what?
Foundation.
Excellent. To the what?
Yes.
New Testament. And it points to who?
Jesus.
We're going to see a pattern. Crowns in the Old Testament. Crowns in the New Testament. Crowns in heaven. Robes in the Old Testament. Robes in the New Testament, robes in heaven. Fire in the Old Testament, fire in the New Testament, fire in heaven. Trumpets in the Old Testament, trumpets in the New Testament, and trumpets in heaven. I can keep going. Old Testament points, New Testament, they both point to heaven. God is consistent. And so we're going to learn right now that robes were used to signify also righteousness or high status. Look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. I'll give you a little quiz. Now, Israel loved Joseph. Israel was a man. What was his name before it was Israel?
Jacob.
Excellent. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And he had how many sons?
12.
Very good. One of them was Joseph. It says Joseph, more than any of his sons, he loved him more than any of his sons because he had been born to him in his old age. Jacob made Joseph, Israel made Joseph a richly ornamented robe for him. Everyone say robe. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word. He gave only one of his sons a robe, and it showed that he favored that son. Robe. Turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus, second book. And while you turn there, let's do a little history lesson. They sold Joseph. His brothers sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. There was a famine. He ended up controlling the food. And Jacob's family went to Egypt. They turned into 2 million people. 70 turned into 2 million people. Moses was born, and Moses delivered them out of Egypt. And that book is the what? I mean, the book of what? Exodus, right? Exodus is what from where?
Exodus from Egypt.
Very good. Now look what it says here in verse 31. Oh, by the way, let me keep going. Moses had a brother named?
Aaron.
Moses had a brother named?
Aaron.
Aaron was the first high what?
Priest.
Excellent. Very good. You guys are so smart. Look what it says. God gave Moses instructions on what clothes to make for Aaron to wear, the high priest, when he ministered in the Holy of Holies. It says, make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth with an opening for the head in its center. There shall be a woven edge like a collar around this opening so that it will not tear. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe with golds in between them. Gold bells. The gold bells and the pomegranates ought to alternate around the hem of the robe. So you had the hem of the robe, blue robe. Around the hem you had a pomegranate bell. Pomegranate bell all around the bottom of the robe. Are you following me? Verse 34. The gold bells and the pomegranates are to alternate. Verse 35. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sounds of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out that he may not die. You remember, he went into the holy place one day a year on the Day of Atonement at 1 minute. And when he was in the holy place, if he did something wrong, God would kill him. So he had the bells. So he was in there, jingle, 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 doing his thing, jingle, 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 and then he would come out. Whew. If he went in there and went jingle, 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 did something wrong, clank. Anybody going in to get him? I ain't going in to get him. They had a rope on his leg and they pull him out. Who's going to go in there and get him? God's in there. God just killed somebody. I ain't going in there. You were prohibited from going in there. God told you if you come in there, I'm going to kill you. Only he can come in there one day a year, and he has to wear these clothes and do these certain things before he comes in there, or I'm going to kill him. So he would go in there. He had a robe. That robe was part of what he had to wear when he go in there. Without that robe, he couldn't go in there. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Last book of the Bible. How many books in the Bible? Everyone say 66. Everyone say 66. How many books in the Old Testament? Say 39. Everyone say 39. What's 3 times 9? 27. What's 3 times 9?
27.
Say it with confidence. What's 3 times 9?
27.
How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
How many books in the New Testament?
27.
39. 3 times 9 is 27. That's how many books in the New Testament. And you're like, okay, so what's the point? You just need to know that. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God. We're in heaven. People who have been killed, their souls are under the altar. And their testimony, they have been slain because of the word of God and their testimony. Verse 10. These people who are in heaven called out with a loud voice, saying, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? These are people in heaven who are asking God, how long before you judge the people on earth for killing us? They know what's going on. They understand time. They're in heaven. These are people in heaven saying, God, how long before you judge the people on earth who killed us? We know that they killed us, and we also know what's going on down there. When are you going to avenge us? Okay? Look what it says next. Verse 11. Then each one of them was given a white what?
Robe,
and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. They were given a white robe. In Genesis, Joseph got a robe. In Exodus, Aaron got a robe. In Revelation, you will get a robe. There's many more robes throughout the Bible. We don't have to go through all of them, but they got a robe. Righteousness, authority, favor of God, crown, victory, favor of God. In the Old Testament, we're going to see in the New Testament, and in heaven. Follow me? Okay. Next one in your notes. Number 5. Rewards in heaven benefit and glorify the giver, not the receiver. This is probably the biggest difference between rewards on earth and rewards in heaven. When you get a reward on earth, it's all about you. It's all about me getting something for me. Rewards in heaven, it's all about you getting a gift to bless the person who gave it to you. There's 5 words that start with C that are associated with a value of a diamond. Carats, color, cut, and clarity. And if those 2 through 4 things work together really good, you have bling. Okay? And if it has a lot of bling, then that's the 5th C, cost. The more bling, the higher the cost. Now, some people will go to the store, not me, but some people go to the store and they say, just tell me about the carats, the cut, the color, and the clarity, and we'll deal with the cost later. Other people go to the store, probably like us, this is how much money I got. Tell me what you can give me for this. Color, clarity, cut, and carats determine bling, and bling will determine cost. If you have to do this to see the bling, little bling. If someone shows you the ring, you go, yo, man, why are you trying to blind a brother? That's high bling. If you turn the lights off in a room, every single diamond will lose all of its bling. Because no diamond has any light on its own. It gets light from the outside of itself and reflects that light out. The efficiency with which it reflects the light out determines its value. You and I have no light of our own. Our job is simply to reflect the glory of God. You can't duplicate the glory of God. You know what I'm saying? What would Jesus do? You can't do what Jesus did. Go make another world. Go die for someone's sin and rise from the dead. Go renew someone's mind. You can't do that. You were never told you could do that. What you were told to do is that you are going to receive Christ as your Savior and reflect back out through you and let Him do through you what He does. You want people to experience Christ, not you. You want to reflect Christ, not see what He does and say, okay, now I'm going to do it on my own. That's what religions do. Let me try to be good on my own. Ain't good enough. What you want to do is receive Christ. Now, Christ made us in such a way that we are able to receive Him spiritually and reflect Him through us, through our personality, through our talents, our gifts, our compassion, our love, our patience. He created us so we can reflect Him through us, so He can express Himself through us. That's what He created us for. So we are reflectors like a diamond. We're not trying to learn the do's and don'ts and just copy. We're to reflect. So when He gives you a crown, guess what the crown does? It reflects back His light. Guess what the robe does? It reflects back His light. Guess what your new resurrected body does? It reflects back His glory and His light just by you standing there. So what if you look at what it says in Revelation chapter 4. It says in Revelation 4, verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, Jesus sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down and worship Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever. The 24 elders are representatives of Christians, us, people who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Every nation and tongue they represent, the 24 elders do. They fall down and worship. And what does it say? They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." What does that mean? You're going to get this crown, and it's not for you to keep and say, "Look what I got." Then with this crown, you're going to lay it at His feet and reflect back to Him His glory. Whoo, what if you go up there with a little nugget like that? That's all you got. You're going to be like, "Okay, God, there you go." You will not feel jealousy or discouraged because you have something less than others. That probably won't go on, but that's not the point. Don't you want to glorify God like this? Don't you want to say thank you to God like this? Well, here's what God set up. The more you walk by faith, the more you're going to be blessed now, the more peace you're going to have now, the more joy you're going to have now, the more happiness you're going to have now, and the better quality of life you're going to have. Oh, and by the way, you're also going to have more riches in heaven. That's a good deal. So what He's saying to you is that keep going. Don't get satisfied. Because you're only going to spend 70, 80, 90, 100 years here. You're going to spend all eternity there. So store up as much. I want to come up with dump truck loads. Now, I have a theory, and you know my theories don't mean anything. But I'm going to give you some background information on my theory, and hopefully it will convince you to believe my theory. So here's my background information. In heaven, this is all factual. I'll get you to my theory in a minute. In heaven, the only light, there's no sun. God is light. He's a source of light. In heaven, everything reflects back His light to Him. Light, we know to have 7 or 8 colors, red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, and violet, green, whatever, and there's other colors that we don't know about. So those are only colors we know about. But when we see white light that's coming out of here, that's all the colors blended together. Whenever you see brown on this podium, black there, yellow there, that means that those surfaces are reflecting only back that color. Every color has a different frequency. Here's my theory. In heaven, I wonder if we can hear those frequencies as different sounds. Now, in heaven, you're going to have a resurrected body. Your whole body is going to be restored back to what it was with Adam and Eve before sin. It's going to be work at its highest maximum potential. Your brain, 90% of your brain you don't even use. You're going to use the other 90%. So there are capacities of our brain we don't even know we have. I wonder if one of them is to hear color. Sound is a vibration in the air. I wonder if we're going to be able to see the vibration. I don't know this. This is my theory. Now, I believe this, but that don't mean anything. The Bible doesn't say this is going to be, but the Bible doesn't say this is not going to be either. Are you following me? But let's think about it. Let's think about it. If your sole purpose is to reflect the glory of God and praise God, what if you had a body and crowns and robes that not only reflected the light, but heard the light and saw the sound, and everything in your body was worshiping God at one time? You could see the rhythm, and your every cell in your body was in rhythm with the praise of God. What if that was true? I don't know. What if you had a crown like that and had all these colors, and all these colors were not only being reflected off you, but it was also worship? You know, the Bible says the rocks will cry out. I wonder what that means. Do you know that animals can see stuff we can't see, hear stuff we can't hear, smell stuff we can't smell? A great white shark can smell a drop of blood a mile away in the ocean. A mile. Now, don't go try that at home. My point is this. What we do know about heaven, whether what I said is true is irrelevant, what we do know about heaven is that it's not going to be like this here. And what we do know about heaven is that our capacity to use our brain and our senses will be maximized. And there will be things we can't do now that we'll be able to do there. That's what I know about heaven. That's what we all know about heaven. And so what God is saying is, I'm going to give you crowns. I'm going to give you robes. It's going to reflect about you and glorify me at a level you never thought possible. So every cha-ching you get in heaven is just going to maximize your ability to glorify me. Now, let me bring it back to today. Do you know that your sole responsibility on earth right now is to glorify God? That's your only responsibility. Through your reactions to people, through your actions, through your words, through your prayers, through your compassion, is to do nothing but to glorify God. You have, in a very limited way, the ability to do what you're going to do in heaven. But you have it. As you can respond to His Holy Spirit, you can encourage people like you never thought, that He can speak through you. He can do miracles through you like you never thought. God's desire is that He express Himself through you in the same way He's expressed Himself to you. How has He expressed Himself to you? Well, let's take forgiveness. How has He forgiven you? Completely. He wants to do the same thing through you. How has He loved you? He laid His life down. He wants to do the same thing through you. How has He encouraged you all the time? He wants to do the same thing through you. And it's not that you would say encouraging words, but your words would have spiritual impact on people. Only God can do that. And the only way that can happen is if you every day say, God, my intent of my heart is to glorify you. What do you want me to do? And He tells you, by faith, do this. You do it, and then supernaturally, He does more and beyond what you can do. That's our relationship with Christ. So heaven, knowing about heaven, is saying, I want to get ready now. I want to get ready now. Number six, last one. Rewards in heaven are associated with responsibilities we will have. Everyone say crowns.
Crowns.
Say robes.
Robes.
Say authority.
Authority.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11. Says, 2 Timothy 2:11, this is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, we shall live with Him. If we endure, we shall reign with Him. If we endure, we shall reign with Him. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Verse 3, it says, do you not know that we will judge angels? There are many, many, many verses that talk about us as Christians reigning and ruling with Christ. You know, the Bible says, if you're faithful in little things, I'll entrust you with big things. If you're faithful managing and stewarding what I give you here on earth, I'll trust you with stuff in heaven. How do you expect to be trusted in heaven with stuff if you can't be faithful on earth? How? Think about it. You've been unfaithful. You get there, you get one little tiny crown with no authority to it, and you expect to get all this authority in heaven. But if you're faithful on earth, and God gives you many crowns, He says, you know what? I could trust you with stuff up here. What that stuff's going to be, I don't know. I can tell you what, it's going to be the bomb. I mean, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive it. Whatever you can ask or imagine, beyond that, who knows? I mean, you can dream all you want. Everything's going to be made new. The heavens and earth are going to be made new. New heavens, new planets, all kinds. Who knows what it's going to be like? I don't know. But I can tell you what, it ain't sitting on a cloud with a heart only. You're going to have authority. You're going to have relationships with people. So let me see. We got Old Testament, crowns. New Testament, crowns. Heaven, crowns. Old Testament, robes. New Testament, robes. Heaven, robes. Old Testament, authority. New Testament, authority. Heaven, authority. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus was in heaven. He took off his diadema, his crown, took off his robe, came on earth, lived 33 years, died. What did they put on his head? A crown. What did they put on his back? A robe. You know what Jesus said? I'm taking off the best crown there is anywhere, the best robe there is anywhere, and I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to live 33 years, and I want you to put your best on me. And the best we got is sin and shame and death. So he says, I'm going to take your crown and your robe. I'm going to die. They're going to put King of Kings on my cross. That's my title, King of the Jews. And I'm going to die and take your crown and your robe and bury it in the ground. And then I'm going to rise from the dead, go back and get my crown and put my robe on and say, okay, now who wants to mess with me? But what he's going to do then, he's going to say, he's going to make an offer to you. Now that you've seen that I've defeated your crown and robe and got something better for you, let me take off your head, your crown of robes. Crown of thorns. Let me take off your back, your robe of shame, and give you my crown and my robe. If all you need to do is say, Christ, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Thorns are a symbol of sin. Why? In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned. God cursed the earth, and one of the results was thorns. Thorns represent sin. That's why it was on his head. It wasn't there just to punish him. They didn't know that. God orchestrated that. God's Jesus saying, if you let me forgive you of your sin, I will take your crown of thorns off your head and put my crown on. I will take your robe off your back and put my robe on. I will take your little title, president of your frat, head of your whatever, and replace it with my title. My title. But all you have to do is surrender your life to me. You have to give your life to me by faith and let me do that. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And maybe you realize, hey, I haven't had my thorns. I haven't had my thorns removed. I did a wedding yesterday, and I do altar calls at weddings. I don't have people come forward, but I had to raise a hand. And I share the gospel. And I don't think I've ever had a wedding where no one got saved. And yesterday, I think three people that I know of got saved. I haven't raised a hand. This guy came to me after. He didn't have the right words. He says, I forgave my sins today. And he said his words were all wrong, but they were all right. He didn't know the words. It was irrelevant that he knew how to say it. But what he did know is I want God and I want to change. That's all he needed to know. All you need to know is that, you know what? I'm a sinner and I want to get rid of my sin. I don't want to die king of sinners. I don't want to die with my robes of righteousness on my back. I want to die with God's robes of righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness like filthy rags. So as we bow our heads and pray, I want you to ask yourself, do you need your crown of thorns removed? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you do amazing things in our life, that you want to forgive us, you want to cleanse us, you want to renew us. We thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you took our crown, our robe, and you buried it. You buried it. Dear Lord, I pray for people here who realize that their crowns and thorns are still intact in their life and they want it removed. They want a Stephanos crown, a victor's crown. If you realize that you are a sinner, you realize the penalty of your sin is death, you realize that you have not received the salvation Christ offers, and if you died right now, you would go to hell, but you don't want to. And you want to receive forgiveness from Jesus. You want to receive his crown, his robe, his authority. You want to receive a position in heaven. Just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I am a sinner. I believe the penalty of my sin is death. But I believe you love me. I believe you died for my sin and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Please be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Remove my crown of thorns. Remove my robe of shame. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging, yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior. You are acknowledging, yes, I've given my life to God today. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, yes, Lord, please forgive me of my sin, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. For some of you, God wants to tell you, get up. He's like, let's go. Stop wasting time. Don't turn me down again. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Come on. Anybody else? Give your life to Jesus once and for all. God bless you. Very good. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Who's the man? Who's the man? God bless you. Stay right there. Stay right there. Just like that. Just face me. Just face me. Face me. Yeah, there you go. God bless you. There we go. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, let's keep encouraging them now. God bless you. 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 All right, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. How you doing, Shakira? Good. You know, God is in the life-changing business. And if you're thinking, man, my life is messed up, you come to the right place. You come to the right place. He changes lives in an instant. And your only job, your only responsibility for the rest of your life is to do what he says. You cannot come to God on your terms. It ain't going to work. Just go ahead back and do your own thing until you're ready to do it his way. This is not a negotiation. We have no leverage. It is his way or no way. He is God. He ain't applying for the job. And he's not going to be replaced. And if you do what he says, the quicker you do what he says, the quicker you obey him, the quicker your life will turn around. If you play games with him, he'll let you go ruin your life again. But he'll be there when you decide to really repent. But if you say, Lord, I'm ready to do what you say, your life will never be the same, ever. Don't look back. Where you are coming from has nothing good for you. Let God now determine what you do and who you hang out with and what you say and what you eat, what you wear, everything. Let him have control of your life and your life will be blessed. I used to do cocaine, smoke marijuana, drink alcohol, all that wild stuff, day in and day out. My first year at San Diego State, I was actually not undergrad. I was 23 years old. I was taking anatomy and biochemistry and doing cocaine. And it would keep me up all night so I could study. And I got an A in because I would study all night. Why? Because the cocaine kept me up. And, you know, no one knew. I was living a lie. And then God said, whenever you're ready, I got something better for you. So God can do the same thing to you. He got something better for you. He can overcome anything. I stopped doing cocaine in one day. That's it. One day. Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to pray for y'all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you so much for being faithful. Thank you so much. You know every single person here and you know everything about them. And nothing they're involved in is too big for you. And I pray they trust you. I pray they surrender their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.